Blog Talk Radio.
Heim og kvad i sång i dig, vakna dig och edelig dränge, de höjre nyckeln på havet skrik, för de hef sovet i för länge. Heim och kvad i sång i lund, vakna dig och edelig dränge, de höjre nyckeln den hejing hund, för de är sovet i för länge. Nyckeln han talar till styringsman, vakna dig och edelig dränge, du styrer mitt skip på Kristi land. För de är sovet i för länge. Ek vill mig på Kristi land gå, vakna dig och edelig dränge, den vene jomfru var villig få.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and with me is the enchanting, the divine, the beautiful, the magical. Yes, I could go on and I could go on. The beautiful Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine. Yay!
Hello, everybody. Hi, Goldie. Thanks, everyone. I'm here.
I know. I love when you're here. And you're here every Monday night. I'm so grateful.
Me too. I love being here. It's fun.
Right on, sister. We love having you.
And amazing.
How all these
things fall into place is astounding to me. Like that song, then what you found that you want to play tonight that is completely tied into that song. So it'll be fun for me to share with the audience afterward the connection. It's just so beautiful.
Right on. And to be honest, I'll let you introduce it because as much as I found it, I found it and it's you. So, you know,
sure.
I mean, you know, it's right on.
Sure.
So, well, I mean, actually, yeah, we were just, you know, the only thing I wanted to comment before we bring that up is, okay, today is January 30th. Is everybody hearing that? It's January 30th. That means January's done for 2012. I don't know about you guys. I got married on December 31st, January 1st, and I can't believe how fast this month has gone by. I mean,
Yeah.
Right.
Same for me. And even hours of the day, like today flew and I'm going, it just seems like time is passing very quickly. So it wasn't the month and then the days, but there, you know, I just couldn't believe how fast the time was going. And I even did consider it. And so then you bring it up and I go, well, of course, there it is. See how I just said, it's amazing how all these things fall into place, which is, you know, that literally are from 20 years ago to this very minute when you just said that with time, because I was thinking that too today.
Wow.
So, and I'm sure other people notice it, you know.
Well, I would imagine because is there 30 days of September? April? There's 31 days in this month, right? Yeah, there's one more day tomorrow, right? Right.
I'm
31 days in I think it's 31.
Yeah,
February 1st is Wednesday. So,
yep.
So, I mean, I realized, I mean, it's the end of the month. I was just like, you know, they say, you know, I remember at 2011, they were like, it's going to go by like a flash. And I was talking about this Thursday night. And it seems like 2012, it is the flash. You know, it's not going by us. We are living in flash time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
because it just seems like everything from a potential point of view to an opportunity point of view to the miraculous point of view, it all seems like it's the gestation of all of this is right here and right now. It's, you know, it's just wild. It's just wild. And it's funny because there's so much that I'm feeling these days that I can't necessarily put into words. And yet I might hear a song on the radio that puts it into the words, or I might, you know, listen to you say something. There just seems like the interconnection of everything. Everything in my world seems very, it just seems to be very apparent. And, you know, my inner circle at this point is literally a global network, you know, with Simon in Norway and you in Jersey and, you know, some people in Long Island and some people in upstate New York and, you know, other friends, you know, in Greece. I mean, it's like, wow, this is,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just wildly bizarre because I'm also finding that as I go within, my entire universe is expanding. So it's funny because my inner circle, which used to be my neighborhood, physically my neighborhood, is now the planet. And what's becoming my neighborhood is now becoming the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That, because...
Well, yeah, that might be even like paralleling what the time thing. It's also the expanding thing, and the circle is including so much greater than, you know, a localized area. It's, I mean, it includes the localized
yeah.
area, but it also is it's out there. And even if we're talking 20 people, 30 people, you're talking all the way out, you know, around the globe, which is so much fun to me. And somehow I bet it correlates with time. And then, of course, all your people that you talk to and I connect with on Facebook, then that's a bigger
yeah.
circle.
Yeah.
But, Yeah.
It's exactly right, though. It's the mind going from me being a person to me being, not a group consciousness, because that's not how I'm experiencing it. It's me being a person, then me being a planet, then me being a star, then me being a galaxy,
you know,
George planted the seeds, but nothing that George says, you know, if it didn't resonate, I wouldn't accept it. But the things that when he says that, you know, you are your own galaxy, you are your own universe, and you are your own stars, that feel I'm right at home with that. It's like, I get that. And it just seems like I'm experiencing that. That's what, you know, and it's not I don't seem that. I am experiencing myself
right.
as bigger space. My space has expanded, and that is I believe, part of the preparation for the birthing of the new humanity. That's part of my preparation to be birthed, that I have to understand. Because it's something Carolyn said recently. She was like, you want to be present wherever you are. And she says that there's 9 chakras in the body, or at least there's 9 chakras. The other two could be outside the body. But she's like, but you want to be firing with all 9 chakras open.
Mm-hmm.
And I relate with Carolyn. I think she's a brilliant woman who lays it out like it is, and you know, because that just resonates with me. You know, to be firing with all 9 cylinders, so to speak. and in doing that, you know, you're anything but just your body. I mean, oh my God, time and space, because it's not just the galaxies and the stars going out. It's also, you know, the atoms and the quarks, you know, and the quasars in us, you know, within each cell. You know, it's like, and black holes and white holes. And I'm in like awe and wonderment today. I got out to the woods today. Yeah. Yay.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've been saying a lot. Well, this is okay. So my, I co-authored a book that'll be out in May, and my co-author,
yay!
My co-author friend is David, who lives in Italy, and he just sent me a work of art that I think will be going into our book, and it was in Greek, but it was the words "Know thyself," and then amazingly,
oh, wow.
you've been saying that a lot, and
yeah.
"Know thyself," know that, and then I love what Nassim Harriman says when he says that. We're the universe that's created itself so that it can understand itself by looking back at itself. And I'm going,
right on. You said that perfectly. Yes.
That's know thyself. So
yeah.
The universe, we are the universe that's created us to look back at ourselves, to understand ourselves. And it's like, oh my God, there it is. It's that know thyself of all the things that anyone's ever said about anything, you know, beyond, you don't even need, like, well, tell me the 7 rules of this or the 10 laws of that or did that. No, the only one, know thyself. And that's it. It's like the most incredible, you know, I guess, not solution, but sort of formula, you know, to, you know, if the flower of life is the image, know thyself is the statement. And,
you're right on the money, babe.
Right.
You are right on the money.
Right.
Exactly.
So it's that simple, you know, and it's that,
yeah.
it's like everything within this very one pinpoint, you know, and of course. And then, you know, just today, speaking of how everything is falling into place or is interconnected, and this isn't unusual, but it cracked me up today. So I'm sitting here in my studio and I'm editing the manuscript that I'm getting ready. And I'm on the phone with my editor who's in New York and I'm discussing this one sentence with her. And I'm looking at a word and I'm going, I don't really like that word. So I'm thinking of another word. And she's going, okay. She goes, I'm going, maybe groan or moan. And she's going, or sigh or... You know, and I look down, and on Facebook, someone literally, as I said, as it came out of her mouth, was the word sigh. And I went,
oh, wow.
to myself, I go, that's it. So, I love when that happens, you know. It's so, it's like, it's right there. It's like unfolding as you need it, or, you know. And that's it. And you'll be talking to me in the car and you'll say something profound or at least like you'll be thinking of a decision you want to make. And when you say something that resonates, you go, well, a hawk just flew right over me.
Exactly.
You know? And these are the kinds of things that you really start, they just are your norm. But, you know, they still make me smile because I'm like, there it is. You know, so that was.
Well, these are what I call, this is the little things in life that, you know, so many people are looking to, you know, for the big breaks. When am I going to get my big break? And,
yeah.
You know, one of the things that I got having a lovely conversation with a friend of ours, Nancy Ward, today, was I started having this clarity that, you know, in the academic world, they teach us the intelligence of how to keep the matrix going. You know, that's what lawyers do and engineers and doctors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we think about it, all the intelligence that's coming through academia is how to keep the matrix alive. And then you get a gentleman like George, who's read like 5 books in his life. You know, really, he's a simple man. He's an acclaimed simple man. He says, I'm a simple guy.
Right.
And yet, George is connected to the universal laws that he can tell you. And when I say the universal laws, I'm talking L-O-R-E, not
mm-hmm.
L-A-W-S. You know, George can tell you the makeup of the dimensions. George can tell you, you know, just through his experiences, you know, how certain truths about life. And so what I started kind of understanding is that, you know, this whole idea, for me anyways, like, it's like, you know, connecting with you just said, George basically says like this. Sorry, I'm a total schizo right now. Okay, George goes, the universal lore, L-O-R-E, is the organic enfoldment of life, which is exactly what you just said. You said, it's so much fun to see the word sigh. I'm trying to think of a word. I say, or your editor says sigh, the woman writes sigh. So what I want to, you know, kind of bring people's attention to is the lore, the universal lore, which, by the way, if in the universal lore, because I learned about universal lore when I was asking myself the question, why do the main characters of movies always live to fulfill their destiny when other characters all around them could, you know, like they can, you know, like look at Lord of the Rings. I mean, how many battles did they have to go through? And yet basically everybody survived, you know, except I think the king's brother and that's it. I don't think anybody else died, you know, of the main crew that said, you know, we will support Frodo in taking the ring. And I start, because it's something that just in my own consciousness, I've noticed that it's like, you know, I've had a few, you know, quote unquote near death experiences, in both dream time and in wake time, you know? And so, and the lore is that if it's my journey to fulfill something that's necessary, which I believe it is. I believe that this radio show, me speaking these truths, this is part of this was written in the universal lore that this is what I'm supposed to do. So, you know, my fear of being, you know, shut down by Illuminati or I don't really have that. And not saying that, you know, I don't really know that I'm making that much of a ripple that they want to shut me down. But I'm just saying, in general, most people's fears don't really have necessarily a logic or a reason behind them, but it still stifles them. And so understanding universal lore and universal law, which is L-A-W, understanding those things are very important because it can help you understand that it's the small things in life that are the big breaks you're waiting for that now moment. I mean, that's huge to get the word or to see the hawk or gosh, so many people are having, you know, I think Simon has some experiences with crows and, you know, he's very conscious in his dream state. I know Susan had experiences, right, with owls and crows. It's like, you know, as much as we go, I wonder what that means, you know, there's also the way to look at it is like, wow, that was a monumental experience. In other words, we should be celebrating those moments as huge because any moment we're in alignment with the universal law, it almost seems like you can't get any more expanded or in the flow or in perfection than that.
No,
so there's it's a perfection. Yeah.
So that's a great point. Anytime we've noticed we're in that organic, natural life alignment, you should, I mean, that is really true. That's really well said. And
thank you.
You know,
thank you.
And,
it
is what would appear simple, but it's enormous. And,
right.
And it is reason to celebrate because you're living a truth because you're living in truth and it's alignment and, you know,
nothing can take that truth away from you. I mean, it's like when George says, when you understand yourself as the eternal, that there's nothing above you, it's like this is the panacea to wipe away the fear, to wipe away the doubt, to wipe away everything that makes us feel insecure about ourselves, the unworthiness. You can't be unworthy if you're in sync with life itself. You have the worth of life. That's what it's telling you. You are in sync with the worth of the intelligence behind all of this. Boy, you know, that's
well,
huge.
That, you know, also it's very to be present is to be able to notice those things and to be willing to not avoid any aspect of yourself is another key place because you cannot just play in one area. You have to
That's true.
So So these are sort of the what is it, like the treasures of doing that, you know, of
yes.
being present in your life and not avoiding your life. You will see these, you know, these these signs of the lore showing you you're in alignment, you know, and it's so fun to recognize, because I don't know, it's just, I mean, that's how it strikes me. It's just and I think it's because, you know, when you've been in those tough places and when you've been down and out, so to speak, and, you know, you pick your head up and you just notice something and you're like, ah, there it is, you know, and you're
like,
I mean, it's very, very exactly. encouraging, and it's very fun. I mean,
It can be. I mean, there have been plenty of times where I was in, and this is, you know, later on in my awakened journey, but there have been plenty of times where I'm having, you know, a rotten night. You know, I'm home by myself, fighting with the world, and just feeling crappy inside, going, well, at least I'm clear inside. You know, I knew at a certain point it was like, okay, listen, tonight sucks, but you're going to go to sleep, you're going to wake up, and you're going to feel better, because I had enough experience to know there was something very cleansing about when I slept. If I was starting to have a bad day by, like, let's say 4 o'clock in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and these don't really happen to me much anymore, but there was a period in my life where this was happening to me quite often, to be quite honest. And that's when when you're doing it consciously, I would be like, all right, you know, because, you know, I stopped calling. I don't get sick. I cleanse. I get flu-like symptoms when my frequency is changing. I have redefined my whole life that at this point I don't get sick, and there's nothing ever that I've done wrong that, you know, I would feel bad about. I'm in the space to come into my balance, and that's it. I'm not going to, you know, apologize. I could never do a radio show at a certain point in my life, because I was always so worried about, you know, am I going to make a mistake? And, you know, am I going to come across wrong? Are people going to think this of me? I'll be quite shit. I don't care what you guys think of me. I mean, I'm delighted that you find wisdom in the things Janine and I share, or just myself. I won't bring Janine into this. But the truth is, you know, I have enough knowingness of my own journey. See, I know my lore, because I've gone within and said, you know, I've answered the questions that inside of me have presented themselves to be asked. And these are questions that they did not come easy to answer them, and they did not come quickly. It took, there's an art to going within to get these answers. And one of the first things that I remember doing, though, is I remember I used to use a woman that she did automatic writing, and she could talk to dead people. And I had asked her a question about my Merkaba, and, you know, she was like, well, what's the Merkaba? And I was like, you know, it's the energy field that you travel in. I was like, but why do you need to know? You know, you're getting your answers from wherever you're getting them from, so they'll know what a Merkaba is, so don't worry if you... And she was like, no, I can't ask the question if I don't know. And I went, you know, it just clicked to me. It was like, so what, my answers have to come through your filter? In other words, you can only answer a question for what you know, but I believe already I know more than you from an awareness point of view. So that's when it hit me. I was like, okay, I can't use outside sources to find my answers. I can use outside sources to confirm, but I can't use outside sources to bring me the initial what I'm looking to find out. And that was, I'll be honest, that was one of the toughest, or it was the most challenging concepts for me to really walk. Because, there'd be, you know, like everybody else, I wanted to call the psychic, hey, just tell me what's going on with me. What do I need to know? But I started the journey of going, okay, I started going within. What do I need to know? You know, let me know in a dream. Let me know in an inspiration. Whatever. I'm going within, and I believe when we make that choice diligently to actually, we just continually go within consistently with perseverance, the soul clearly sees that as, it's time to really give this connection a go. Because, you know, at this point, I don't intend to go within. It's the only place I do go. And if someone says something to me outside of me that, you know, rattles me, you know, it's like, okay, I need to go within. I need to check, you know, shit, am I a bitch? Somebody just called me a bitch. Am I a bitch? I need to go with, I don't know. You know, maybe I am, maybe, you know, but I check with myself. And then whatever I get in myself, then I'll present it to the world of, well, this is who I am. I own it. You know, mm-hmm. this is what I, these are my processes. I don't hide behind an archangel. I don't hide behind someone, you know, I'm not channeling any of this. I'm just walking my talk from a very, you know, for lack of a better term, self-centered point of view. But it's always kind of, you know, since I've had my awakening, why is being self-centered a bad thing? Self-centered. Isn't that the goal? I mean, because for me it feels like that's the goal. And if that's the goal, then go within to self to ask all your questions. Go within to self to find your answers, you know.
Yeah, know thyself.
Know thyself. There you go. Yes, God bless it. So I have other things I want to share, but I know I want to get these four questions out too.
No, but we could keep going. I would like to say that most listeners are sitting in one place, and but my wonderful, incredible webmaster, Alan Portera, is driving across country tonight. He left New York yesterday, and he is listening tonight. So we were even doing some of my web work as he pulled over to a rest area. I was like, I want to post some things on my blog. Will you talk me through it? He goes, sure. So he pulls over, him and his three dogs in the car, moving to California. And, my even does highway work. You know, we were like, so he's probably driving somewhere, maybe in Indiana or Ohio. And I just wanted to say hello and thank you for today. And he was going to be listening in. So
right on. Hey, Alan. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, because I've been having a lot of these, just conversations with people. Like, you know, I'm just, the things I'm noticing is that, like, here's something I've noticed within myself recently. Now, I don't have, quote unquote, gifts, spiritual gifts that were easily marketable. Like, I can't read somebody's aura colors. I can see light around people, but that's it. I can see light around people. I mean, you know, okay. And it's basically the same size around everybody. The colors might vary a little bit, but that's it. I just never really had these quote-unquote new age gifts, even though I could lay my hands on people and definitely I could pump some energy into their being, and I knew that it would affect them. I just knew it. So I could do that, but you know, I couldn't do, you know, see, it's so funny I'm saying this, but I could do tarot card readings. Yeah, I could do that too. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, for me, I've never really believed that I've had these gifts. This is more accurate. Okay. I've never believed I've had these gifts. And because of that belief, I've kind of really just focused on, okay, well, I'm going to ascend. I know a lot of people sometimes get into the ascension because they're looking for the superhuman powers. You know, they want to bilocate and have telepathy and, you know, read minds, you know, very Stephen King-ish kind of stuff. And what I'm noticing from the people in my world, that there are people with gifts in my world who have, you know, genuine gifts. They can talk to the dead, or, you know, they're very open to other dimensional beings, lucid dreaming. And what's so interesting to me is those people seem to be out of balance in the sense of they have not focused on their human side. And what I'm noticing right now as 2012 is coming down the pike, from my perception, you know, having those gifts are good, but the human side, if it's out of balance, means, you know, here's what you have when you focus on the human side. Confidence in yourself, courage, perseverance, you know, the things that help you sustain yourself from a physical point of view. And not just sustain yourself, meaning I'm just not looking to get by. You know, I remember people saying that all the time. You know, it's like, you know, I'm just getting by. I got just enough. You know, I'm like, bullshit, man. If I'm going to live on this planet, I need to thrive. And I got it early. I thrived financially when I walked on the dark path. But I have never thrived financially from being, quote-unquote, in the light. Never. And so when I clearly understood that, okay, listen, the stuff I have to offer, quote-unquote, in the light, it's clear to me I'm not going to make the kind of money I was making selling cocaine. Okay, I'm clear on that. So then that's no longer going to be my standard of how I'm thriving. And I started going, well, what is it that I can thrive? What can I thrive on? Without, you know, the outside world determining whether I'm, because the outside world seems to determine whether I get money or not, not me. And what I was thriving on, what I then focused my attention on, was virtues.
Hmm.
You know, being able to say that in the 20 years that I've nannied and the 4 years that I've cleaned houses prior to nannying, I have never snooped in a person's house. And I can't tell you the opportunities I have by being, you know, in these people's homes. I could go through everything. I could go through drawers and medicine chests and, you know, anything I want. And I have never done that. And the reason why I bring this up is because it's not like I've done it once, twice. I've never done it because I understood early when I was cleaning houses prior to being a nanny, it's important to be able to say never. Never is a strong, strong word.
Yeah, yeah.
It holds so much more power from the virtuous space of the non-physical than, oh, yeah, you know, I snuck a few times. No, I've never done it. And, you know, I'm not afraid of, you know, God striking me dead, so to speak, because it's my truth. You know, it's like, and no, I also get that part of it. I understand the dynamics. People snoop because their own lives are miserable, and they're looking for, you know, for the misery of others. You know, there's some kind of codependency why you would want to know what's going on in other people's lives. First of all, as a nanny, I'm already privy to a lot of information because when you raise people's children, they obviously, you know, I mean, Sahana and Anya's mom has confided in me on several occasions, as my Westport family has. You know, so I'm part of the family anyways. But what I'm trying to say is this whole time in the 16 years that, you know, I mean, I've made enough money to get by, definitely. But so then the minute I knew that that wasn't in my power, well, what's in my power? Where can I thrive? And where I could thrive was to hone the virtues of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I am finding the virtues of perseverance, the virtues of tenacity, the virtue of courage. God knows the virtue of courage is applicable right now. And it's applicable not just because, you know, I'm willing to die for the things I believe in, which is my truth. I am willing to die for them. But it's simply affecting me at this point in my life. I can celebrate, you know, just sitting out in the woods today, you know, having these amazing experiences, which I'll share, you know, as the show goes on. But in other words, having courage means I'm not afraid right now. And right now I see the people, even with the gifts, even the people who can talk to the dead and channel beings, because they haven't worked on their humanness, it's a very challenging time right now. And it's like, you know, it's the first time that I've ever gone, you know, wow, you know, it really paid off not to have those gifts. I didn't know it, because God knows, for the longest time, I was also, I want these gifts. I want to be psychic, and I want to be able to look at a person and tell them what's going to happen 5 years down the road and next week down the road. And it's not, and to be honest, I've had a couple of moments of, you know, predestined, you know, like something, like, you know, I've called something, but nothing that I can't do it, you know, on call. I can't do it on demand. I mean, it was just, you know, I might have said something and somebody was like, hey, you know, that actually happened. It's like, oh, wow, really? Check that out. Even though a lot of it seems that it comes from just, and because here's another one that's huge. I worked on awareness, on just being aware of who I am and what is happening around me. You know, because, you know, I was, oh, I'm babbling a lot tonight.
No, no. I've never heard you more on target. This is honestly, like, I was like, well, this is those moments where you can't find words, because for you to say what you said about coming into knowing after all that evaluation about, you know, just getting by, making money on my gifts, when you came up with the virtues, I just was floored. It couldn't be more. Yeah.
Right.
No, it just couldn't be more, you know, what this is about and has been. But, you know,
yes.
I was telling
it,
wow,
is what it's about. Exactly.
Wow. It was really one of those wordless, speechless, smiling, oh, wow. She hit the
right
target.
On.
Boom. And just to really, you know, it's so amazing that I was editing, as I told you guys, and I had to think of a way to describe this very irritating detective who, you know, guess what I called him?
Irritating detective. Oh, a what? A
snoop.
Get the hell.
What's going on? All my words are being confirmed. It's like, oh my God. Because you said it like, it was so great. I thought, oh my God, there it is, Snoop. You know, because I loved it. You know, I even looked it up. I was, so there you were saying it. But I.
Janine, I love being in literally empathic connection with you. Because, you know, it really shows me that it truly, when I go on these rants, I mean, you see how your presence feeds these rants, because
well,
the words
I
come out. They're
you
your words.
The awareness and the valuing of virtues, just we could just end the show right now.
No, I have more.
No. I'm floored. It's beautiful. It's so targeting. It's just so right, you know. And you know, I'm just happy.
This is what I want people, because like the understanding of this is there's this subtle wisdom, because like right, you know how I got there? I got there because life took my money away. It, you know, because why was it that I was so abundant in it with coke, and then the minute I'm doing energy work and all the healing stuff, you know, I don't got a nickel, you know, to throw in the pot. It's like, and so the lore, the L-O-R-E part is, instead of working your ass off to change what is, work your ass off to redefine. Exactly. Keep everything exactly the way it is, because here's the truth. L-O-R-E will trump L-A-W every single time. So if you want to make, you know, an interesting comment came up from Nancy today. She goes, do you ever get afraid that when you die, that you failed to complete something, or that, you know, you were a failure in this life. And, you know, I thought for a moment, I went, no, my biggest fear is that I'm going to have to come back. It's like my whole goal is to do everything necessary to balance out my soul. And these are the words George gave me. Before I knew that that was what I was doing, I was just like, what do I need to complete in order to not have to do duality in my next lifetime? That was that once I got that, because like I essentially, when I first went for the ascension, I went for the ascension to take me out of my pain. Absolutely.
Right.
I was looking for harps and butterflies and bunny rabbits and just show me the world that's all love.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that the more I went into my ascension, the more my world fell apart, even more so. And it was like, you know, okay, clearly, you know, did I dial wrong? You know, did I get the wrong operator? Instead of going up, I went down. I mean, like, what the hell is going on? And then I started understanding more and more about, you know, the ascension is really about the unplugging from the matrix into the sovereignty and the freedom of that which is beyond duality, which is the fifth dimension. And the fifth dimension has duality in it, but in fifth dimension duality, you know, differences show up as difference of opinions. In the fourth and third dimension, difference of opinion show up as war.
Yeah.
You know, and this is part of the dynamic of the dimensions. You know, it's like it's designed this way. So there's nothing wrong with the third and fourth dimension. It's designed to be extremely dense and extremely polarized.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed up for it. You know, because I'm telling you, I was telling Janine this before the show started. I'm what I want to be. I want to be a living example of a drug addict who has ascended. I want people to know that that is absolutely possible, that you can take your life to the very depth of darkness, because believe me, at least, I mean, cocaine will take you there. And I'm sure heroin and OxyContin and all the other drugs. And wait, and mind you, and so will the prescription medicines too. You know, drug addicts come in all shapes and forms. We're not just talking street drugs. In fact, definitely there seems to be more of addiction now at this point of prescription drugs. But you can go to the depths of separation, the depths of darkness, truly into the hell of you know, Dante's spirit and Satan's, you know, lair. And then when you choose to turn it around, you can. Nothing is so irreversible. Nothing is so unforgivable. Nothing can stop you. Because what I eventually am learning is it's all an experience. You know, it's the light's an experience, the dark's an experience, the third dimension is an experience, the fourth, you know, as hellish as it is, the only thing that's real is the experience. The rest was, you know, kind of, you know, because I can tell you that through forgiveness, you know, I don't have any, I'm not harboring, you know, any grudges, or I'm not looking to kick anybody's ass at, you know, because I was thinking about this the other day. When I quit selling drugs, it took people up to 3 years to stop calling me, asking me if I still had coke. I mean, 3 years. You know, I would scratch my head going, are you kidding me? I mean, like, but that's just the nature of how it works in this dimension, right? Things take time.
Yeah.
We can change, but it doesn't seem to really get a hold of it in this dimension right away. And so anyways, going back to when you choose to ascend, you will, and one of the key ingredients to ascension is removing our mind out of our experience, you know, because I was sharing with Nancy today that, you know, I've spent many hours building Merkabahs and light bodies and constructive meditations that were calling in energies from all over the cosmos other than my own. And all of that, see, once you choose to do the organic ascension, what's important to remember is that it's going to come in the lore time. Just because I want to be in the fifth dimension now, well, that's not how life saw it. That's not life's plan. Life's plan will get me there when life's plan gets me there. So, you know, in that time lag between me wanting to be there and me actually being there. Well, what can I do that you know is productive? How can I still enjoy life? Because it's this funny thing. George talks about it. You know, when you're walking between two worlds, when your goal is to be connected to your soul and literally living your soul's expression, things fall away. Like, who cares about money? Your soul doesn't care about money. Your soul cares about the energies that you'll take with you that are eternal, i.e. the virtues.
Yes.
So you're working on all these virtues, and your physical world is falling apart because you're not putting any energy into it. And I know it can be daunting because, you know, as Nancy put it, well, we still got to pay our bills. And I'm going, well, you know, I used to say that, but, you know, I've been out of a job for a pretty long time. And you know what? My father's kind of stepped up, and he's kind of paying my bills for me right now. And Scott stepped up, and he buys groceries, you know, and all of them. I don't really chip in. And, you know, it's like I said, and for me, there seems to be something about the divine feminine wants us to know how to receive.
That's
because,
smart.
You know, because my father and Scott both, who are very – well, Scott's actually very feminine, too, in many, many ways. It's just very – he does it from an energetic point of view, not a verbal point of view. But both my father and Scott divinely they're not laying any kind of heaviness on me that I'm not working. And it's not that I'm not looking for work, because I have an interview, you know, hopefully setting up an interview with a mom that goes to work. Yay. But their response to me, in all honesty, is incredibly the divine feminine, where it's compassionate, it's supportive. You know, again, it's a virtue. It's a virtue of support, not a response of, you know, get a goddamn job. I'm not supporting you. You know, there are no free rides. You know, and these are the terminology, to be honest, I grew up on with my father. I mean, he said all of those things to us. You know, I bought my first car. I used to thrive on saying, I'm an independent woman. I pay my own bills. I take care of myself. I remember that being part of my identity. And today it was so clear to me that I'm more wanting to shout from the rooftops, I am connected to my divine feminine, and I'm okay receiving.
Oh.
I mean, you know, I look at that as a success, because I know how masculine my energy has been my whole life. I'm
yeah.
very masculine. So for me to be able to receive and think of myself successfully in that, there's no other way to describe that than this is a divine feminine integration. I've integrated enough of the divine feminine that, you know, I don't feel unworthy of the receiving. I don't feel entitled. I'm grateful that I'm receiving. I'm grateful that there are men, you know, allowing me to pick and choose the job I want. That's a divine job for me. Not saying stay in the job. I don't care. Just make sure you make the money. You know, that's not a part of my experience. And
or
you know,
an organic natural alignment. That's not. You know, that's not the Lord.
Right. That's L-A-W. That's exactly right.
Yeah. But I just want to share with everybody that Goldie was sharing with me today that she went to the woods and she literally was sitting in a throne, and you definitely belong there. Because in terms of archetype and, I mean, what you're saying tonight, I can tell you've been sitting in a throne. Because
right on. Wow.
It's what over these 20 years from when the song that everyone heard in the opening was a powerful time for me, and over those 20 years that I would agree that, you know, it hasn't been that the successes have come to me in a way that someone else would measure as a norm. Oh, wow, you've done it. You've made it. No, not at all. It really was such a different experience. And what I've always been able to hold on to are that my virtues have literally taken me here, and it's exactly where I want to be, and it's exactly talk about the a reason to celebrate. I just feel so I don't know, in perfect alignment with
yes,
and it is the virtues. It is totally my ability to hold the space, be patient, at the same time tenacious. My ego does not, run me. I don't listen to rejection. It has nothing to do with that at all. And many times I've seen rejection as actually a compliment because I wasn't right placement. And I was trying to put myself somewhere where I didn't belong. And I now talk to myself and go, thank you. Thank you for not letting that happen. So it's the virtues, and it's just beautiful. And, I can just tell you've been on the Queen's throne today.
Right on. You're awesome. It's so much fun to have. And I'm telling you, for the first time in my life, as I am in alignment, I have people in my life, in my inner circle, especially Janine, who not only gets it, but she's living the same soulful experience. So we literally get to share back and forth with each other. And I've never in my existence of knowing Janine, and we've had plenty of conversations, I've never played top this with Janine. I've never felt jealous about something Janine was saying. And these are all experiences that I've had with quote unquote other girlfriends in other times of my life. And, I'm very aware. I mean, I know when, someone's playing top this, and, it brings out the competitive in me. And I can tell you one thing, competition is not a virtue. It is not a virtue. And there are people that believe it's healthy for children to be competitive. That is such a crock of shit. I mean, competitive needs, it's so much in the realm of the there's got to be someone who wins, someone who loses. There's no competition in the fifth dimension. I get it. It's a third and fourth aspect of living. And, because somebody, I was watching, I've been watching the George talk from Australia, and someone asked the question, how will we know, when the fifth dimension, gets here? How will we know when we get there? And he's like, listen, we're already integrating this. Do you go to energy healers? Well, you wouldn't go to energy healers in the third dimension. That's a fourth dimensional aspect. And a fifth dimensional aspect is understanding that the virtue has more value than the bank account.
Yeah.
So if you're focusing on your fifth dimensional aspects, your virtues, you are literally doing the preparation to when the planet's in her alignment. And because this was something me and Janine talked about the other day, and I really want to share this too, that everybody seems to think, not everybody, but many people seem to think, because Mother Earth allowed herself to to be so abused and, raped and pillaged and burned and poisoned, and that she's weak. And it's like, wow, my hands are buzzing right now. Mother Earth is not weak. I can remember a quote I used to have, don't confuse my kindness with weakness or my compassion for stupidity. Because those virtues, because Mother Earth let us go as deep into duality that we have gone through, we have been allowed to have these experiences on her, in her, through her.
Uh-huh.
And she is now, she is on a timeline, she's going to ascend. That's why, it's like, everybody's, you know, we're all the deities are male, and you know, all the ways to success are masculine. Everything we do in this culture is that, you know, completely toxic, off balance. Because me and Janine are not, I'm not a male hater, not by any stretch. I love boys. I could say something really crude right now, but I'm not going to because it's a family show. But trust me, I love boys. and I love masculine. But I really, since doing the work of the virtues, I have understood that the unconditional love, which is exactly what Mother Earth was allowing us and showing us and expressing to us, when she, and she's already started to do her changes, as she goes through her changes, and I believe much more intensely in this year, people will quickly, in a blink of an eye, realize she's not weak at all. And the kind of contract that she had to allow herself to go as deep into duality and the dark ages, as we all went, she went with us. And now there are parts of her that stayed fifth dimensional and fourth dimensional, as there are parts of us that did that. But she allowed us to facilitate these experiences. And when you do the work on the virtues, all you have is gratitude for our own mothers, our own sisters, our own neighbors, our own nannies. You know, you just start recognizing how incredibly amazing the power of gentleness is. How incredibly amazing, you know, when you're talking to like a 3-year-old kid, how incredible they feel when you bend down to see them eye to eye. Mm-hmm. Not, you don't stand up and talk down to them. You bend down and you go, hey, what's going on there? You know, what do you got to share? Because I want to know what you got to share. I want to know what you got to say. You know, when those that are powerful, you know, bend to those that are, you know, vulnerable and give them their share of, you know, their true notoriety and their true honorability. This is the divine feminine.
Yeah.
And ironically, this is what's going to take us, you know, all the way into the Homo Illuminis, the new human being that is being birthed. And you know, I would imagine everybody that's listening to the show, if you're a regular, we're all going. I mean, we're all going, and nothing's going to stop us. Nothing's going to stop us. Okay.
No, and just to be, you know, to set the picture, you were telling me that you went into the woods today and that you found a tree with roots that felt or looked as if it was a throne. Is that right?
Well, I decided to go to the reservoir, which is
a
totally different direction than I normally go, where I go deep into the woods and I have these meditative spots. So I'm going towards the reservoir, and normally where I sit is there's this platform that's at water level. But as I was coming down the little hill behind the platform, I just turned to my left, and there was this huge boulder with this little rock that had this root, this tree root growing right beside the rock. And I knew, because, you know, I carry little pillows and fluffy mat things with me. I was like, wow, if I set up camp here, I was like just looking out. I had an elevated point of view of the reservoir as opposed to being at sea level, so to speak, at the bottom. And I snuggled in. And one of the things I got to share that came to me like as a insight was elephants and whales are predominantly what I would call fat mammals.
Mm-hmm.
Why do women who are fat, why do they think of themselves unworthy?
Mm.
When two of the most conscious beings and divinely feminine beings, the elephant and the whale, both have, you know, a tremendous amount of fat to their experience. I was like, I was just wondering that, going, you know, going, how am I going to post that on Facebook? And then when I couldn't figure out how to do it, I mean, I tried a little bit, and then I was like, oh, I'll just talk about it on the show tonight.
Well, so much of what you're saying, even the Polynesian culture, the women are, you know, they, which, of course, they love the whale there. But once again, the difference between law and lore, or, you know, how much money you're making versus what are your virtues and what do you stand for. I think it's the same flipping of the belief systems where, you know, what are you going to stand for? What are your virtues? Are you going to, you know, are you going to identify with that ridiculous cultural propaganda, I guess you'd call it, you know, or whatever.
I would call it propaganda. I think that's a strong enough word.
And it is diminishing of the feminine nature, which, of course, has been done to Mother Earth. And I think it's all, you know, similar that, what was I watching? Oh, yes. I mean, remember when I said to you, Goldie, I saw that woman, Gabby Gifford, standing in the middle of Congress Hall resigning because she needs time to heal. And she was with her friend, Debbie Wasserman. And she was standing in this Congress, and I just saw her as this incredibly strong female who had been shot in the head. And was standing and smiling and radiant and beautiful in this very masculine, you know, place of law.
Lawmakers.
Lawmakers and very polarized and very immature and very competitive and ridiculous and egomaniacs. Mm. And it's like, and money rules there. What buys power? Money.
So
here it is, and that was a visual. I sat up at 4 a.m. and went, oh, my God, there it is. You know, it was a visual of the deep feminine nature and how strong she is. And, you know, this isn't just for women. I mean, men have it too, but it's
totally.
It's that deep archetypal energy that here we are on Mother Nature. We are part of her. To me, what you're talking about, and it seems to me in somewhat of my playful way, but not, because this is how I see things, is that it feels to me as though you were sitting in some queen's throne, because you're saying things that over the last 20 years I've come to know, but they're so profound in their
they are.
For you to just go to the virtues, just, it's incredible to me, and it's beautiful. No, it is.
This is why we're partners, babe. I love the way you take what I say, because you know how you say to me, Goldie, do you know that your radio show heals? And it's the kind of things where, you know, does anybody else think the way I do? You know, this is kind of what goes through Goldie's head, and half the time I don't know if I'm just ranting and rambling or... You know, and then I speak it, you know, on the air with Janine, which helps me to understand that this is important. This is important stuff. I mean,
yeah.
I know it's important to me, but right, it's sometimes hard to know when this is really where I've been. This is what I do. You know, because now, how do I put this? I understand being, you know, distracted by, you know, relationships and finances and mortgages, and I understand what it's like to be focused on my soul as the true savior of my sadness in this life. You know, everything that I have in my life, like when I had come home today, after the woods, and I just had this like quiet moment, and you know, I'm at Scott's house right now, and you know, I turned on the laptop and I was getting ready to do Facebook, and this just overwhelming sense of life is good. I was so appreciative of, you know, my baby Scott and my presence in my own life, who I am in my life, because for so many years I wanted to be somebody else. I mean, growing up as a kid, I wanted to be the pretty girl. And it's weird because I think what the virtues do, besides aligning us with life itself, is it's almost like the panacea, because in the good ways it aligns, and in the negative ways, it's almost like it takes your... I don't have doubt in me when I'm in these spaces. Now, do I know what's going to happen to me tomorrow? No. I mean, and there's a difference between not knowing and doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Doubt is, you know, for me anyways, doubt says, I'm not prepared to do this. Not knowing is, you know, okay, you know, I'm aware, I'm conscious, and in all honesty, I'm excited. Let's see what happens. You know, it's like I go from doubting to anticipating. I'm anticipating amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's when the work that's done inside our being, because this is what we were saying, you know, the answer is so simple. Know thyself. And, you know, how do I know myself? You know, I've had people say, how do I know myself? Well, you know, when's the last time you asked yourself questions that you might ask maybe a potential lover or, you know, a girlfriend or a boyfriend? You know, how many times are you okay? Well, when's the last time you asked yourself that? Are you okay? Because, like, today, before I went to the woods, I was on Facebook and I was having, you know, lovely conversation and I had some things going. I was reading and I had George on my television, you know, talking to me from Australia. And I had spoken to you, Janine, today, this morning, or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, this morning.
Briefly, Janine was waiting for someone. They were going to go for a run. And, you know, after we hung up the phone, I was like, oh, right, this was after. Then I talked to Nancy. I had a discussion with Nancy that I had to get done. And it was interesting because whatever I got from my talk with you, I felt inspired. So I got this talk with Nancy, you know, completed. It felt fantastic. And then when I hung up with Nancy, I went, there's no way I'm going to let Janine come on the show tonight being in the woods and not having been in the woods too. I was like, no way. I am getting dressed and I am going to the woods. And, you know, and it was so funny because, yeah, well, because I start to recognize, I mean, hey, I haven't been to the woods in actually, I don't know. I don't even know how long. Time gets a little garbled because I won't say 3 weeks. I know I've been there before 3 weeks, but I wasn't there all weekend, and there were some sunny days. Anytime I see a sunny day without snow in the winter, you're really like, God, you should be in the woods. You should be in the woods. But I like to spend my time with Scott during the weekends because he's home. So today he was at work. And, you know, because I kept thinking as I was motivating myself, going, you know, just get out, drive your car. Like, I was really noticing that there was a point in time in my life where, for me to get out, I would have had to have met somebody. Like,
mm-hmm.
I can, you know, there was always something about my life that somebody else had to be involved,
yeah,
in order for me to feel okay. And it became very clear to me today, there was not another being involved other than nature herself. And I was so excited that I could give this to myself. And,
yeah,
and was giving it to myself. And, I mean, I can't even tell you, like, there was just such joy. It was sunny, and, you know, I was so grateful that I had my, Scott gave me a pair of long johns, so I had long john shirt and long john pants and my snow pants and my boots. And, I mean, just like a little kid, yeah, go to the woods, it's going to be so cool. The show's going to be so good tonight because I went to the woods. And here we are on the show, and, you know, it's rocking because I went to the woods, you know, and I didn't even, it's like, I know it. I'm never quite sure if I'm going to be able to express it. And, you
well,
know, again,
well,
the
beautiful thing is organically, it just comes out. And I think even what I've noticed is, like, the alignment of just being in life organically, what comes out is exactly what needs to be said. And it, it really surprises me always in such a great way. You know, tonight was just, you know, I would have never known you would have went there and talked about virtues, and yet I was, you know, I'm still reveling in it. It's just amazing to me, you know. And
wow,
yeah. And I don't know.
And let me tell you something about Janine, which is, you know, God knows I love you beyond words, my little hippo.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Now, tonight we have downloaded four questions from a woman that is incredibly, you know, very virtuous woman in Janine's world. It's Janine's mentor and the woman who helped Janine discover the magic gown. And, I mean, this woman is tremendously important. And this week, somebody had posted these four questions on Facebook, and I was like, oh, my God, Angela, that's Janine's
Angela,
girl.
Yeah.
Or Angelus, how do you
say? Yeah, Angelus is her first name, and Arian is her second. And she's
Angelus Arian. Yeah, I'm always afraid I'm going to say it wrong. That's why I don't say the last name.
No, that's okay. Yeah, that's her name.
Yeah, and so, you know, I said to Janine, you know, I posted it. I put it on my wall. I posted it on her wall. And I literally wrote, I have a little better understanding of you, Janine, after hearing these four questions from Angelus. And so, and then as the week was going on, I went, hey, I'm going to download the questions. We'll play them on the air and, you know, and we'll share them, you know, how like, you know, the song and Angelus has affected you and help you know thyself. And, you know, Janine, this is all ready to go. And Janine allows me to shine with this virtuous experience, expression. You know, and like I said,
well,
this
you know,
is the divine feminine.
When something shows up so authentically and beautifully, all you want to do is get out of the way because, you know, that's spontaneity, that's being present, you know, and so I couldn't be more thrilled.
That's amazing, though. I find the humility in that. Which I think humility is a virtue. If it's not, it should be.
It probably is.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing because, I mean, I'm certainly enjoying it, and it's coming very natural. I mean, it's been flowing through me all day, and I'm grateful because, you know, what you guys don't know, but Janine knows, I had some stuff coming up for me this weekend, and it was stuff that. It was my stuff, you know, and it was dark aspects of me and aspects of me feeling insecure about myself and feeling needy, you know, and I had some situations go on with Scott and, you know, everything worked out beautifully, you know, but for me, that to me is a telltale sign when I start having, you know, what I call like inner eruptions. I don't mind the inner eruptions because one of the things I know to be truth is that raising my frequency is established by integrating these emotional outbursts. Because it's my understanding that these emotional outbursts are cellular. It's trapped in my cells and from the time that I was a kid.
Right.
And so now that I have the grand tool of knowing, oh, well, go sit in the woods and everything feels better. So no matter what, no matter how rough my life gets, I can always go to the woods, sit in the woods, whether on a throne or otherwise, and feel better. And what's starting to happen is it's almost like, you know, when you said that we have the woods in us, we've been in the woods so often, it's actually part of the archetype of our, it's a frequency that we can reference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, because when you're working on virtues, when you're working on knowing thyself, nothing goes by without being accounted for. And, you know, this weekend, I had to account for myself being needy, and I'm not always needy, not even remotely close. I'm pretty self-sufficient from an emotional point of view. And I have not been that way all my life, but at this point I am. And so it was very clear. It was like, I mean, I said to Janine, I felt like this was something associated with my manic depressive diagnosis, which you guys won't hear me talk a whole lot about that because, you know, I feel like, you know, that's just, it's kind of like ADD. You know, it's what they kind of defined kids, you know, in my age bracket who might have had a different frequency than the rest of the world, and they didn't know what the hell to do with us, so let's call them manic depressive. Now, I have friends of mine who the manic depressive was, when they went manic, you know, when they went depressive, they had guns, and they were firing guns in their house. So it's kind of like autism. There's levels and degrees to which, you know, everyone has this, and I've never been medicated for it. I've been advised to be on medication for it, and I was like, no, I'll just deal with it. And mm-hmm. and I saw it clearly because I was like, in my depressive state, which I felt I was in this weekend, I needed Scott to confirm my existence. It's like, be with me, baby, be with me. And he was being with me physically. And then it was like, be with me, baby, I need your heart. You know, and he loves me. And then I was, well, and give me your mind. And, you know, and finally he was like, Jesus, Colby. You know, I was like, how much do you need? I need it all. You know, and it's like, it just became clear to me there was not enough Scott could give me. He just couldn't give me enough. I was going to feel inadequate this weekend. And I did feel inadequate this weekend. But I was talking to Janine. It was like, it was clear to me that it was me who had shifted. Because Scott wasn't doing anything different than we have been doing for the last 28 days of the month. You know, here was the 29th day, and, you know, and I was screaming things like, you know, we're never going to make it past the Kim Kardashian days of marriage. You know, maybe this was all a mistake. I mean, my whole paradigm seemed to be collapsing on me, literally on me, and I guess what my understanding of it is basically that it's mine, definitely, but my understanding of it is, well, I'm releasing. There was a point in time in my life that I felt that way that had not been, I stuffed it. I either smoked a cigarette, did coke, had a beer, you know, had sex, whatever. I stuffed that feeling, mm-hmm. and this weekend I didn't. This weekend I let myself feel that, and then when I was done feeling that, because I actually, I left the house for a little bit because I needed space. I just needed space, and I got my bearings back and recognized as soon as I was like out of, you know, like 0.2 mile away from the house and Scott, I really became clear, this is not Scott, this is you. And on top of that clarity I got, Scott was doing everything to help me in the best way he is able to help me. And it became so clear to me how important it was that if I want him to continue to be loving towards me, however his way of being loving towards me, it was imperative I go back. And I think part of being a bipolar person is it used to be my instinct was to run. You know, when life isn't good, we'll get the hell out of Dodge and find someplace where it is good. But that's not honoring a partner. You know, when you got a partner, you got to stick it out. I mean, that's part of, I think, how marriages last. The ones that last well, you know, really, really honor that commitment. And I could tell, I mean, Scott is honoring our commitment tremendously, and it was important for me to honor him and our commitment. And I came back and he was still loving towards me, which there's a dynamic here that I won't get into tonight, but I will get into at some point that I'm understanding my relationship with Scott. Me being Scott's soulmate is very different than I've dated Scott and been his girlfriend. I've dated Scott. I've been his other woman. And I've had significant times where me and Scott have not dated. And in all four of those dynamics, being his girlfriend, being the other woman, and not being with him, and being his wife, I've never felt as much love from Sky as I do right now. And it's really, it's amazing to me because we don't think people can change. You know, we have all sorts of reasons, whether they're diagnoses of, you know, autism, or there's diagnoses of he's an alcoholic, or whatever it is that we label the people in our lives, like my dad, you know, shit, you know, he's an engineer and a Jewish man. He's never going to change. And in 2012, I am experiencing so much change from the people in my environment. Even my environment feels different to me. I'm one example out of billions. This is available to all of us. Nothing's written in stone. I mean, and it does seem to start from the base belief that know thyself, mm-hmm. you know, because I don't look to change, Scott. I learned that, believe me, I look to change. When I was the other woman, when Scott was living with his girlfriend and still seeing me, oh, Goldie wanted nothing more than to change Scott. And Scott, in all his glory, boy, he would not change. He would not change, and inevitably I surrendered and said, okay, listen, I can't be the other woman anymore. Go be with your girl. And he was with her like another year and a half before he called me back. And, you know, we've been through a lot, definitely been through a lot. But where I never thought change would come, change is happening. In my own experience, change is happening with the people that I'm dancing with, so to speak. You know, and I guess when... from a soul perspective, that says so much, you know, because so many people are like, you know, how would this change happen? I can't envision this change. It's like you don't have to envision it. It'll happen even without us envisioning it. You know what I mean? It's like, in other words, that's that LORE, trust. Mm-hmm. Trust that when you're in alignment with your own flow, your own river for life. Life has amazing things in store for us. And amazing, not from that, amazing doesn't include fame, doesn't include fortune, and doesn't include prestige. You know, it doesn't include status. Amazing includes a connection and an alignment with all that is. I mean, really, and that is amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, well, you know, the game changer that I see, all this week and all last week, should I say, and, you know, I could sense that you were integrating something and, you know, it was great. It was fine. It was just a noticing. And then when you told me about, you know, you told me after the fact and how you left and then you went back and, you know, I've been there and I know that that's such a powerful thing. It's like taking responsibility for yourself, knowing the constructive thing to do for you and your relationship, but mostly for you, but then your relationship benefits. The constructive thing, the healthy, the integrated choice is to go, no, and you turn around and you go back. And then the deep feminine nature is really the beautiful force that's with you that is handling life so differently rather than destructive or, you know, or vengeful or punishing or it's completely the opposite. It's not even about power. It's about just showing up and being yourself and, you know, who cares if you left and it was because you were feeling, you know, needy and insecure. The amazing thing is you caught it and you went, no, go back. And I've been there. And I remember that so distinctively that it was a game changer for me. When I would catch myself,
wow.
And
nice.
you could feel yourself shift. And
absolutely.
You know,
I just have to say one thing.
I remember
because I couldn't be in the house until when I was sitting here prior to leaving.
Yeah.
The only thing that was in me was a demon literally felt it was going, get out. You don't want to be here. This is bullshit, man. You don't want to be here. He doesn't appreciate you. Can't you feel it? He doesn't appreciate you. That's what I kept feeling. And it was like,
yeah.
Until I got 3/10 of a mile, which seems to be the mileage it takes for me to have a flip, then I felt it in my being. When I got that far, it's like, wait a minute, didn't you notice he came back to bed when you asked him to come back to bed? It's like,
right.
You know, Scott isn't, he doesn't do things like, you know, the average man would do things because of you know, the nature of his wiring. But the truth is, I have a connection with Scott, and I know when Scott is doing something out mm-hmm. of character to help me, but I don't know that when I'm in my space of having the pity party going, Scott doesn't appreciate me. You know,
yeah.
I didn't notice it then, but I noticed it at that 3/10 of a mile, and it was like, because the one thing I was afraid of is I was afraid I was going to come back and Scott was just going to basically have a pissy fit, you know, just be angry with me and
the Punisher.
You know, give me the Punisher, yeah. Right? I thought I was going to get punished. When I came back, and oh my God, completely the opposite. And because I might as well just get into this, because I just have to share this. One of the things that I noticed, the reason why I brought up the four states of my being with Scott, is when in all of the relationship I had with Scott, even when I was Scott's girlfriend before I was the other woman, when Scott's girlfriend first left, Scott and me met. And then, like, I think it was about 6 months after we were dating, she wanted to come back into his life, and he said yes. And the way I found out was I got a phone call one night. I had gone out with a friend. I called Scott, and he goes, okay, well, Michelle's coming back in 6 hours. You're out. And I was like, what? You know, and I accepted it for all of like 20 seconds, and then that's when it became, well, I still need to see you. I don't care. I'll be the other woman. I don't know how to let you go yet. I mean, I just couldn't. Something about Scott, he is in my fibers. And so that's when I became the other woman for about, I don't know, 6 months, about, you know, I'm rounding things off. And if when I stopped being the other woman, I remember I called him one day, and because I was like, listen, why don't you pretend to take a college class? This way, 2 nights a week, you can come to my house. And he was like, no. And it was like, I was thinking of all these ways he could lie to Michelle to be at my house. And finally, you know, it just super clicked to me. It was like, if you've got a work this hard to have somebody be with you, you probably want to let them go. You know, this is your dysfunction, and what you're trying to build on is
mm-hmm.
just whack-a-doodle.
Yeah.
So then, in a moment of pure clarity, I was like, I'm done. Go be with Michelle. And then after a year and a half, 2 years even, he called me up one day, and I was like, okay, where's Michelle? And he's like, okay, we're done, you know. And what had happened was Scott's father had died, and I knew from when my mother had died, that's a life-altering situation. And what I understand now is Michelle was in Scott's life bringing out his demons. I mean, they would fight all the time, which for me, I kept going, you know, when I was with him those 6 months as the other woman, it's like, okay, are you done fighting? And he's like, nope. It's like, what? You know, you're still going to stick around with this? Because I would have never lasted that long fighting with somebody. That's not the makeup of me. But what I started to understand is from the time I met Scott until we just got married, to be honest, all the times I was dealing with him, it was either in residue of Michelle, because when Michelle was in his life and I was in his life, the fighting aspect of Scott would come out at me all the time. And he was mean. He was mean. And I just don't do mean well. I don't like mean. But there's something about Scott that I couldn't, you know, my soul wouldn't let me unhook from, you know, it's like my soul continued to keep me attracted to him. L-O-R-E continued to keep me attracted to him. And I was like, okay, I would go through 3-4 month periods of deep depressions, not speaking to him, just lying on my bed, missing him like nobody's business, you know, during our off seasons. And then when I came back after his father died, well, then we had the demon of he was drinking and dealing with a tremendous pain of the loss of a parent. Oh my God. That's when he took it to all new heights. You know, he went really dark, and he was really mean. I mean, it was, I took 3 months of that and said, listen, I can't do this. I just can't do this. So I left him at that point. And then just recently when we got back together after 3 months, where, you know, we dated for a little while, and then one day, this is, you know, we had already started the show, I was like, I thought Scott was interested in being with other. See, I have these demons that tell me Scott's interested in being with somebody else. I don't know if that stems from because of the call I got when Michelle came back into his life, or my own insecurities, probably a little bit of both. But I'm super sensitive to that, you know. And it's like, for what I'm seeing now, which I did not see in my other entire 4 years of being with him and/or not being with him, is that, you know, I'm a priority in Scott's life. And not just that, but being the only woman in Scott's life right now, other than his mom, but meaning I don't share his world with me and Michelle, now I'm starting to see Goldie's influence. And my influence in his life is he's calmer, he's compassionate, he's working on communicating. I mean, because these are the things that are important to me. What was important to Michelle was, and I understand it, was she would get her energy from Scott through fighting, you know, what they call negative reinforcement in early childhood, where kids behave badly because at least you're getting their attention. And I get it, because Scott can be very single-focused, single-minded on what he does and not pay attention. And when I'm in my happy space, I'm fine with that, you know, because I can keep myself and my own emotional tension okay. But when I drop into depression, you know, then that's a whole new story. But I am still recognizing that in my journey right now, I have chosen a man in my life, not who gives me everything, but I have chosen a man in my life who gives me sovereignty. Mm. Because he truly, he doesn't bask me in attention. He doesn't bathe me with, you know, verbal, romantic love. He just touches me and spins my cells. Which, you know, I didn't realize that was going to be my Prince Charming, you know, the spinner boy. but that's what it is, because as he loves me in his unique way, it helps me to revamp what I think love is all about. Yeah. Because, you know, my interpretation of love going into all relationships was very, very toxic, very codependent. Yeah. And, you know, I was as big a mess as the men I was, you know, attracting into my life. And he's really giving me the opportunity to learn to love myself. Mm. And in loving myself, be perfectly delighted and content with the way he loves me. which is pretty deep, because this journey of relationships has been a that's another one of my focuses. I've been single for a very long time, but always with the desire to be in relationship. And of course, until I really got it, the relationship I want to be mostly in is me, not the man. You know, that I recommend to everybody. You know, put yourself as the priority. Yes, be self-centered. You know, who called that a bad thing? I don't know who called that a bad thing, but that's a bad thing to call that a bad thing.
Yeah, and take responsibility, like, which I love that you did at 0.3 miles. And you
and
you turned around and you know, I think amazingly, you know, one of the most powerful virtues is love. So when you're really looking at these virtues and living these virtues, and you know, I mean, I it's so funny when you were saying something about drugs, and I was like, I just saw a prescription pad with the word virtues written on it.
Oh, exactly. I love it. That's a great line.
Here, go take these, go practice these virtues, you know, but it really is, you know, it's such a strength and an authenticity that when it feels real, it is because it is real. And yes, your interpretation of what you thought based on insecurities and lack of confidence, it is completely warped compared to what true relating is, you know. So it's a great story.
Thank you.
Of relationship and then self within a relationship.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yes.
Not making the outside the number one priority, but making the, you know, in other words, as soon as, because like I have said to Scott now, I go, you know, I think there might be something to me. For me, like when I said I felt the flip, I've got to be authentic. If there's a feeling inside me, however warped, if it's telling me, you know, you got to get out, I can't fake it. I can't sit and go, okay, but I'll stay, you know, because if it tells me to go, or if it's, I'm so uncomfortable, I got to go. But what I'm learning just through experience, because there was another time this weekend where I didn't actually drive 0.3 miles. I just got to the end of the driveway, and then it happened.
Yeah.
That I think some people count to 10, you know, like therapists go, you know, you should count to 10 before you respond to anything. And for me, I think what it is my physical energy needs to just be with me. You know, because Scott's field, literally his energetic field, is really quite. He has a presence about him. Who he is fills this house. I mean, this is his house. I keep telling him, I'm just visiting here. You know, this is your domain, and I'm okay. You know, with the things we've set up, I have a TV and I have a computer and I have a bed, and I'm happy with these things. And I can go downstairs and cook. You know, but for me, it's like there's something that happens, a switch that's flipped in me. And that seems to come when I take some space, I think that comes from, you know, going within. You know, in other words, nobody can really talk me out of it per se, but I can see clearly if I'm in my own energy field and I don't have his field kind of pressing at the front glass. Because, you know, I think it's okay to, you know, because I told him, I said, I think what I should do is tell you from now on, I'll be right back. You know, and so instead of making it, giving him even those 3 minutes of going, you know, damn, she left. Because he likes me here, and I like being here as long as it's authentic, as long as I want to be here.
Yeah,
I mean,
so,
you know, I'm just learning that, you know, just driving around the block, And I don't know if it would have the same, you know, I don't know if it would work the same way if I knew I was coming back, you know, because it seems to work when, at least so far, my intent is to leave and then, you know, it flips and I go, or not. Okay, maybe not. And, you know, I guess the humility of coming back in, well, with Scott, I've always had humility with Scott because with Scott, I he's very dominating in this relationship. He's very dominating. And that's part of what I'm attracted to because there are not a lot of people who I would even tolerate to be dominating in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a strong, I got some hippopotamus in me. So when you meet somebody that's not afraid of your hippopotamus, you know what I mean? Knowing you're a hippopotamus, it's like there's an attraction. You know, I like strong people. You're strong. You know, most of the people in my life at this point, you know, have a sense of self. That's what it is. You know, and as kooky as Scott is, he definitely knows who he is, and it's about, you know, he knows what he likes. He's like, listen, these are my projects. This is what I'm doing. It's like, okay, well, let me get the hell out of your way because that's what you're doing. And but there's, I don't know, I find comfort in being around people who know who they are as opposed to people who don't know who they are. They tend to bring up a lot more, more drama happens from, in my humble opinion, from victims than from people who know what they are, who might, you know, oscillate in and out of balance.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Strong personalities, but not strong because they're competitive or it's the ego, but just know who they are, have a lot of self.
Exactly.
A sense of self. Yeah.
And what they need to you know, he knows, he's like, listen, I need to focus on these things because it's how he unwinds. He unwinds by using his mind. When he comes home from work. So, okay, unwind, you know, get online, whatever. He does whatever he does. And like I said, I'm okay with it when I'm in my own connection. And, in, you know, because, I mean, the joke of it is, of course, you know, I have a husband, but I couldn't live without my girlfriend, which is, of course, Janine. Because I don't really talk with Scott. Scott talks to me, but I don't really talk to Scott because Scott's not interested in the world that I live in. And for the first time in my life, I'm like, okay. So I have Janine who's, you know, we're totally on the same page. We love human behavior and what makes us tick and how we tick and, you know, the subtle changes. I mean, and because, you know, I remember you saying, and you might want to share this, how important it was not to consider our romantic partners that they had to be everything in our lives. You know, that
was a new place. That was a new place of maturity, and I'm really happy for that. That was from learning, you know, being in relationships where you think it's everything. And then I remember, speaking of Angela Sarian, I remember way back in 1991 when she said in a lecture, about really taking self-response, being personally responsible. I remember her saying, and I was there with my husband at that time. I'm divorced now, but she said, journey first, relationship second. And I hated, I hated that. Because, why I hated it was because I knew it was true. And it really activated that part of me that was still reluctant to embrace my own personal journey first and make my relationship, you know, after that, which of course makes complete sense because unless you really have an intimate, healthy relationship with yourself, you are always going to live in some state of insecurity and lack of confidence and neediness and victimhood in the relationship. So
exactly,
it threatened all those parts of myself that still were immature and didn't take self-responsibility. I was scared. But it was great. It was great because it took a long time, you know. And, I've come to really learn, and it's really fine that really, really important, strong relationships that I have, they're not all what I thought they were supposed to be, and it's so much more realistic, it's so much more healthy, and I'm so much more sovereign, you know. Yeah, and so that's why I see things probably much more accurate now. I don't read into, like, when you describe Scott, I'm going, God, that's so great that he knows what he needs. You know,
yeah.
I really admire
yeah.
that. And,
yeah, exactly.
And I'm also really happy when you tell me, and I went back and he was just really understanding. I'm like, oh, that's so nice, you know. And I was really happy for that part because it's almost like the reward of coming back. And you faced yourself, but then you came back to a really welcoming, you know, situation. And I really was happy for that. There's a validation there that just says, yeah, that was great, you know. And
exactly.
You know, here's the other thing. This is all risk taking. You know, like you said, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Of course not. We don't know. So, you know, but that doesn't stop you from knowing, from trusting, from forging ahead, from, you know, I mean, that's just life. And I like living that way because it's very aware. It's very present. I always smile because George talks about being realistic, and I love that, you know, and I totally get when he's saying that. And I don't think he, from my perspective, when he says that, I get it. But when I hear, like, other people who, you know, are really, they're in a rant or something, and they're like, why don't you just be realistic? And you can tell that their realistic is very unrealistic. So, you know, this is just a live and learn kind of thing, I loved hearing the turnaround, and you were welcomed, and
you are so supportive. I'm telling you, Janine helps me on so. She helps me to know there are some things, like, I'll tell Janine, I'll say something, and she'll go, well, you know, I think you can just keep that one to yourself, Goldie. You know, like, because I'm like, oh, I want to talk to Scott about this. And you're like, you might want to just, you know, think about that. Because, you know, like, she's the, in my humble opinion, everybody should have, like, a neutral moderator that helps you know, you know, what's big, what's little, and I say this because I have basically said from day one, you know, we don't have that many healthy relationships as role models.
Yeah.
And, I mean, shit, my mother died from a black tumor eruption on her heart chakra. So clearly we had issues in my house when it came to my mother and my father relating.
Right.
You know, they were loyal to each other. They didn't cheat on each other. But there was definitely communication gaps, you know, from here to, you know, Saturn and back again. So, you know, I get it. I don't necessarily know healthy relationships. And, you know, when I like running things by with Janine because, A, I trust her, you know, immaculately. I've never resonated with someone truly to the depth that I resonate with Janine. And I am deep down the rabbit hole. I mean, I say that word, you know, with all knowledge that, boy, she meets me at the depth of the rabbit hole, which, and of course, in our relating together, we're going even deeper. And, you know, I run things by her. It's like, you know, is this me going crazy or, you know, or is this something big? And she'll often say, no, you know, it's really, you're fine. It's okay to be a little uncomfortable. Or, you know, it's like everything doesn't have to become World War III because it's not exactly how I pictured it. And because I know how to work it in my experience, now I'm learning how to relate in a relate. Because that's really, relationship is about relating with another person and truly kind of understanding when to surrender and when to make a stand. And in all honesty, unconditional love surrenders every time. You know, there's, I mean, that's kind of what I was saying earlier about Mother Earth, that you know, she allowed so much to be, you know, experienced on her, and not from a space of weakness, but from a space of tremendous virtue. I mean, a virtue that it's a planetary level of virtue, because I don't know if human beings have this in them, even though I would look at the Dalai Lama, and I've seen documentaries on him expressing how he feels about China, and oh my God, is that man compassionate towards, you know, the country that kicked him out of his country. You know, so we, you know, I guess we are capable of this type of understanding, and as long as we're capable of it, well, then it's my goal to become it. And yeah. I would imagine that once we become fifth dimensional, we are it. That's when, you know, kind of when the game clock ends for one level of being and begins on the new level of being, you know, because all of this is going to become, you know, a moot point once I'm in the fifth dimension. But on the same point, you know, I don't believe what I'm doing is, you know, invalid. I believe I'm preparing myself to be in a fifth dimensional experience. You know, in other words, that's what the third and fourth dimension become. They become the opportunities to practice being unconditionally loving. That's, you know, because people are like,
with yourself, and then, you know, and
exactly,
then as you practice,
exactly,
right, and then you, as you practice that with yourself, it's just, you can't help but be that way past yourself, which is with others, relating, you know, in any relationship. And yeah,
exactly,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It does take exactly. Oh, I say that so often with you, my friend. God bless. I mean, but it's so true. I mean, because, and that, see, the beauty for me is, like, I was listening to Carolyn Mace's Sacred Contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about, you know, sacred contracts are not just about, you know, the relationship that you're blissed out in, and, you know, it's perfection from, you know, beginning to end. Sacred contracts are about, there are certain people that bring up the shadow in you. There are certain people that inspire the artist in you. I mean, it was so funny because at one point I was like, okay, she's talking about Scott, and then another, oh, and she's talking about Janine. I was listening to it on audio going, yes, I have all my sacred contracts in place. I've got my artist friend. I've got my husband who brings up the shadow in me so I can integrate. It's like, I just felt so, I mean, and I felt this way for the last, you know, few days, other than those moments of insecurity, I've been feeling very in alignment with life / nature / my soul. You know, all of those synonymous adjectives have felt very aligned. And that's why I'm okay going, you know, off kilter, so to speak, because it's never stationary.
I don't even think that you don't even need to use the word accept, because when you're in alignment, anything, it's kind of like the word that Simon uses to distill, but anything, when you're in alignment, it, you know, you're open to letting what needs to come up and be revealed. You're allowing
that and
then you respond to it. So even, you know, it's not like, oh, I was in alignment and now I'm not. There's no accept there, because I really think that, you know, this is the necessary process for, staying in alignment is part of this. And so
you're right. No, I understand what you're saying, and it's you're right. It's the labyrinth, not the maze. You're always on.
This exists in us. It's not like, oh, that was new, that you know, this was something in you that for conflict resolution or any kind of integration or resolve, these aspects of yourself need to be met and looked at and dealt. You know, so it's all part of the alignment, and it's
right
perfect,
on.
Really. It's
you're
perfect.
Right on.
You know?
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're
and then,
right.
And then, you know, it to me, what I'm what I'm getting the benefits of is this incredible, like, centeredness and understanding about virtues, because I was like, wow, you know? No, but it's so true. I don't think you could be more precise. You know, I really think that if this was looked at more, if this was talked about to young children, you know, it would just be incredible to talk. And, you know, this is not religion class. This is humanness class. This is
exactly
what the Native Americans called, you know, truly being a human being was this. You know, it wasn't about how many shells you had or bead necklaces or fur coats or, you know, what it wasn't about. It was never about, it was about your
virtue.
Right. Yeah, so
right on.
You know, now you have me on a tangent.
Well, we like when you're on a tangent. You can be on a tangent anytime you want. This is your show. We'll roll out the red carpet for you. I'm telling you, Janine, I've never felt so you encapsulate what I bring to the table so beautifully. And I've never had that where I feel so understood, and to have that as a partner on the radio, you know, truly does the blessings get any better than that?
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, doing the show for 6 years, I've done, you know, I've gone on little rants with guests before, and, you know, I always seem to, you know, I just always got the sense they're scratching their head going, okay, Goldie, yeah. You know, like, I don't know. It just never felt, so grasped. You seem to grasp me, which is amazing.
Well, two things I know. One is to engage is the best. So, you know, I'm engaging with you because that's what I love doing, but it's natural. And the other thing is that from all I know, when you go with someone on and where they're going and you go with them, there's always, that's where the treasures are. So why would anyone have an agenda where they have to, you know, you just go, let's go. It's like driving in a car and you say, you know, I know we think we should go straight, but I'm thinking we should go left. And I'm going, go. You know, go left.
But no, Alan, follow your GPS. You have a destination.
Right. No, don't turn left, Alan. You'll end up in Tennessee or something. No,
well,
so,
even though if you got creative, Alan, you could actually go left through Tennessee to capture. Maybe there's something there for you, right? Right? Who knows? I don't.
If you feel like turning, go ahead. But no, I'm all, you know, it's just, this is for me where the fun is, and none of the incredible, magical, you know, creativity that I've ever encountered in my own personal world has ever come from me not following something that I was going, huh, what? Because when I follow it, that's where all the good stuff is. So, you know, you can count on me for that.
Janine, I count on you for amazingment. I mean, it's so funny because when I say enchanting, delighting, magical, mystical, you really are that. I mean, you really are. You just, I'm telling you, it's such blessings to have you to share this with. I mean, both personally and on the air, which, you know, I mean, ultimately, I really don't edit much from either. It just matters what time of day. It's like, okay, today I'll share on the air, and tomorrow it'll just be on the phone. But but you really are, you know, the blessings you bring to my physical being, my emotional being, my spiritual being, and the radio show. It's mystical, it's magical, it's a very blessed experience from my end. Because we will definitely, I mean, you know, Angela's questions are there, and, you know,
you could play them another time.
Totally, and as we will, because, you know, I apologize to everybody go ahead.
No, because this, see, really one of the things that she talks about is storytelling and the healing power of storytelling, and you basically, to me, tell live stories of, and
right.
people get what they need to get from it. And so it was all, you know, it's all perfect. And a lot of, you know, Angelus is such a teacher of my life for the last 20 years. And, you know, so I enjoy so much sometime putting her on here and letting people listen to how bright she is. But, you know, this is so much fun for me on the radio. I enjoy it so much, and I'm growing, changing, progressing, you know, every time I'm engaging with you. So I love it. I love it.
I love it, too. I really.
Time.
I love. Yeah, it's all right. We'll go a little over. It's so good. We can go a little over. We're oozing with over.
There's some cash.
Our cup runneth over. What is it?
I said you're so cash. That's sure for casual. No, that's good.
Okay. No, indeed. I mean, I'm telling you, the truth is, sharing my experiences with you and everyone on the air, I don't know. It brings there's a light. There's a light that I feel, and and I've done the show for 6 years. I've been on the radio for 6 years. I've never felt it the way I feel it, like when we do our shows. I don't know what it is, and I would imagine everybody who has it. It's very natural to me to share, but when you share with somebody that really. Like responds the way you respond with things. I mean, Nancy tickles me, boy. Okay, no, I won't get crude. You tickle me too. I'll let the mystery be had. And trust that was. Just so everybody knows, that was a lesbian moment. Everyone, I have my fingers in quotes. That was a lesbian moment.
So that's okay. All is good.
No, of course it's okay. It feels great.
Love is love.
Yeah, no, right on, sister. You're amazing. And we will definitely get to Angela's questions.
Oh, sure.
We've got nothing but time and topics. And
yep.
So tonight was fun. Thank you. Thank you so
much.
Oh,
you're welcome. I love
yeah.
it.
You're welcome. Yeah, me too. Now, share where people can find you.
All right. I have two websites. One is my name, J.L. Kimmel.com, and that's K-I-M-M-E-L, and the other one is springtreepress.com, and I just posted a couple new blogs up on both those websites, so, you know, check them out, and
nice.
they're fun. They're just letting you know what I've been up to.
Nice.
Thanks, Golden Hawk.
And every Monday night you can find Janine at the Mystical Mother Earth Show right here where you are. And you're very welcome, Janine. And just so everybody knows, up February 22nd will be the last Thursday of a weekly show of another reality show. I'll still have the show, but I'm kind of gonna do like what Lilu does. You know, when I find somebody to interview, I'll interview them. It'll be any day of the week at any time, and then I'll just post it. So. You know, after February 22nd, you can just kind of go to my site and, you know, see or Blog Talk Radio site or anotherrealityshow.com and see when, you know, new interviews are up because, you know, I have fun, but as you can tell just from hearing tonight's show, the Mystical Mother Earth Show, this is where my heart and my passion is right now, just discussing the extraordinary in the ordinary. And, you know, by discussing it and sharing it, and you know, me and Janine both invite everybody to call in. But by discussing the extraordinary and the ordinary, we all can realize that we're all living extraordinary lives right now, extraordinary lives, and sharing it is just, well, for me, it definitely brings the light to my eyes. It brings a light to my whole experience. I'm knee deep in joy when I get these opportunities to share. So thank you. Thank you, Janine. Thank you, audience.
Can I
thank
just
you
tell you and the audience something amazing?
Of course. You know, of course.
Okay, Alan just texted me. He is in Tennessee.
See, I'm telling you, Janine, you're so in tune. so into. And oh, and you know what we never got to? Shucks, we never got to your gas leak in the basement.
My what?
Your gas leak.
We'll talk about that next Monday.
Okay, definitely. But Mike, because I mean, I want people to know how intuitive you are. No, indeed. In divine time, definitely.
Well, I don't want to leave the show on a weird note, but yeah.
I agree. Right. But we will talk about it. And that'll
okay,
be what...
Good.
Because
so
she
we'll
talks
talk
about
next
stories.
Monday, we have lots of things to talk about.
Yes, or if Goldie's persuasive enough, we might be able to get Janine to do a second show this week.
And
stay tuned.
Does happen on Thursday?
And, oh, that's right, yes. And Kevin Gonzalez, who is a fabulous young man, I think he's in his early 20s, a lot of depth, incredible insight into the divine feminine and living life on the planet Earth right now. He's going to be my guest and Janine on another reality show, Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Definitely tune in for that. Kevin
yeah, February
is...
February 2nd, yeah.
Oh, is that what... Did I say 22nd?
Yeah. No.
Sorry,
no,
yes.
You didn't say the date, yeah.
Oh, okay, February 2nd, yes, this Thursday night. So definitely tune in for that because... it'll be good radio. Me and Janine and Kevin, all three of us are excited for the show, so that'll be good. And I guess it's, you know, it's time to play our little Carol Burnett goodbye.
All right.
All right, I'll
everybody.
Talk to you in a few minutes. Bye, Janine.
Okay.
We love you. We love you.
I love you too. Bye.
Bye.
Oh.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time
together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, all the time we have to say so long.
The youngster over here, what's the worst one?